وقل للمؤمنات يغضضن من أبصارهن ويحفظن فروجهن ولا يبدين زينتهن إلا ما ظهر منها وليضربن بخمرهن على جيوبهن ولا يبدين زينتهن إلا لبعولتهن أو آبائهن أو آباء بعولتهن أو أبنائهن أو أبناء بعولتهن.
In the previous ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke of the importance of guarding the gazes and protecting our eyesight and being very careful with regards to what we look at and avoiding at all costs looking at that which Allah has made haram, because the consequences of that could be quite bad and quite evil, and it could even lead to the act of zina. Now, in yesterday's ayah, the instruction and the command was directed to the menfolk. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ was the instruction that O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tell the believing male. In this ayah number 31 of Surah An-Nur, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the female, the believing females, and a similar instruction is given to them via Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah says, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tell the believing female. Now generally when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to command both males and females, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the male format. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu is addressed to men and males, but women are included in that. Over here, with regard to the importance of watching our gazes and guarding our gazes and not looking at haram, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed two separate instructions and injunctions to highlight the importance. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ was the first one. Tell the believing males that they should guard the gazes. وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell the believing females as well. يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ they too must lower their gazes. They also must lower their gazes, and they must also take care of their eyesight and what they look at. يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُنَّ and they too must guard their private organs. Once two wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was seated with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Umm Salama and Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. And while seated with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a blind sahabi, Abdullah ibn Ummi Maktoum, came and visited the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and both the wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained seated. They did not move away. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the two of them to leave that area because there was a strange man in the vicinity. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, but he's a blind man, he cannot see us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Affa ammiya wani antuma, are the two of you blind as well? Are the two of you blind? The two of you can still see him. Which means the rule that applies to the menfolk when it comes to lowering the gazes, the very same rule applies to the women folk as well. They too are not allowed to look at the men, and they too are not allowed to look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made haram for them to look at. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs them as well that they should guard the gazes, وَيَحْفَظْنَا فُرُوجَهُنَّ and they should also protect and guard their private organs. وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ Now, we are discussing, as we said, means and ways of protecting and safeguarding the chastity and protecting and safeguarding our haya, our morals, and ways of avoiding obscenity and ways of avoiding immorality and any form of transgression when it comes to our haya and our chastity. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke of guarding the gaze for both the men and the women. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of rules pertaining to hijab. Another very, very effective way of protecting and safeguarding chastity and our moral is the way the women folk dress. In fact, there is a major issue, and this is a major contributing factor to the aspect of loss of chastity and the loss of shame, is the way the women expose their bodies and the way that they choose to dress and the attractive manner in which they display the bodies which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed them with. Now these are not the first ayat of hijab to have been revealed. The first verses of hijab were revealed in approximately the 5th year of Hijrah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed the women folk to now cover themselves up and wear outer garments over their normal clothing. They were required to wear outer garments, and they were required to cover their faces, and they were required to cover the hair, and so on and so forth, whenever they left their homes, and whenever they were in the presence of strange men. These ayat here also are pertaining to hijab, but they were revealed a year later, in the 6th year of Hijrah. Allah says, وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُمْ. And the women should not show and should not expose and should not display zinatahunna, their zina, their adornment. Meaning whatever they put on as adornment, that is their normal dressing. Their dressing that they wear, the jewelry that they wear, and the makeup that they put on, and everything else. Whatever is considered as an adornment, the outfit that she wears, or whatever she wears as adornment, and that adorns her, and which enhances her beauty, and which makes her look attractive, she is not allowed to expose them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ. They must not expose their zina. Whatever they have put on, and whatever they have done to enhance their beauty should never be exposed. إِلَّا مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا. Except that which becomes exposed of it on its own. Meaning the outer garment that they put on, that will be exposed. There's nothing they can do about that. The veil that they put over their faces, or the scarf that they use to cover their hair, or the outer garment, the cloaks and the abayas, or the shawls that they wear to cover the zina, that they have no control over that. That will be exposed. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says is exempted from this. That is something that they are forced to display, and that is something that they are forced to show. وَلِيَضْرِبْنَ بِالْقُمُرِهِنَّ عَلَىٰ جُيُوبِهِنَّ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when they put on their headgear, khumur is a plural of khimar. Khimar is something used to cover the head. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the khimar must be such, they should wear the scarves. Today there are many who wear scarves, but are the scarves and are the khumur, the hijab that is put on the head, is it worn in the proper way? How should it be worn? What is the objective and the purpose? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِيَضْرِبْنَا بِخُمُرِهِنَّ عَلَىٰ جُيُوبِهِنَّ. And that khumur, the khimar that they use, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, must be placed right over the chest. Right over the chest. So the khimar, the purpose of the khimar is not only to cover the hair, but the purpose of the khimar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, is to cover the entire upper body. So that is what the khimar should do. Because in the pre-Islamic era, and we find also today, that sometimes the ends of the scarf, so the scarf is put onto the head, but the ends of the scarf are either tied at the back, or it is tied in such a way that the neck and the ear and the bosom is exposed. That is not hijab. That is not hijab. Some people or some women feel that the idea is just to cover the hair. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the upper or the headgear must be such, and it must be so broad that it must be so long as well, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the ends of it must be used not only to cover the hair, but it's covering the hair, covering the ears, covering the neck, and also covering the entire bosom. That is what is meant by وَلِيَضْرِبْنَا بِخُمُرِهِنَّ عَلَىٰ جُيُوبِهِنَّ. This area, the chest or the bosom, is known as the juyub. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, let it be placed and cover the entire bosom and that area. And that will be the proper way of wearing the headgear. وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ. Again Allah emphasizes, they are not allowed to expose their adornment, their zina. Whatever they are wearing to adorn themselves and to beautify themselves, Allah says, never let them expose it. It's unfortunate that today many a times the zina is meant for the world outside. For everyone outside, they are adorning themselves, but within the home, there isn't the adornment. And sometimes you find even husbands complaining that sometimes we find that when they are going out, then they are adorning themselves and beautifying themselves and displaying themselves for all and sundry out there, but within the home there is no adornment, there is no desire to dress up and to look smart within the confines of the home, and that goes completely against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to impress and wishes to convey over here. Allah says, وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ. It is a means through which people are going to commit acts of shamelessness. And people are definitely going to fall in immorality when they are exposed to this type of adornment and when they are exposed to this provocative and attractive manner in which the women folk dress. Allah says, and let them not expose their beauty, illa, except who are they allowed to expose their beauty to? Obviously, they are allowed to adorn themselves, they are allowed to beautify themselves, they are allowed to enhance their beauty. But for whom? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِلَّا لِبُعُولَتِهِنَّ. Number one, their husband. They are allowed to expose that beauty and that zina and that adornment. Number one, it should be done for the husband. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوْ أَبَائِهِنَّ. Their fathers are allowed to see that beauty of theirs, what is under the outer garment, their normal casual clothing, the fathers are allowed to see it. أَوْ أَبَاءِ بُهُولَتِهِنَّ. The fathers of their husbands, the father-in-law, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوْ أَبْنَائِهِنَّ. Their sons, they are allowed to expose it to their sons. We're not speaking of the awra yet. The awra, they're not allowed to expose it to anyone. The awra of a woman is her entire body except her face and her hand. That's her awra. The entire body of the woman is awra, except her face and her hand. She's not allowed to expose any part of the body above that or beyond that to even her mahram, to even her father and her sons and so on and so forth. So for example, wearing sleeveless tops, she's not allowed to wear that in front of her father. She's not allowed to wear that in front of her own sons and her own brothers, because that's awra. There's a difference between awra and what we are discussing here. Here we are not discussing awra. Her aura is only meant for her husband, no one else. Here we are talking of her adornment, what she wears inside over the outer garment, that the father is allowed to see, the brothers are allowed to see, her father-in-law is allowed to see. أَوْ أَبْنَاءِ بُعُولَتِهِنَّ. The sons of their husband. So if her husband came into the marriage with a son from a previous marriage, then that son becomes haram for her. So she is allowed to show or expose her adornment, her beauty in front of the son of his. أَوْ إِخْوَانِهِنَّ. Their brothers, they are allowed to expose the adornment in front of their brothers. أَوْ بَنِي إِخْوَانِهِنَّ. The sons of their brothers, their nephews. أَوْ بَنِي أَخَوَاتِهِنَّ. The sons of their daughters, the nephews from the sister's side. أَوْ نِسَائِهِنَّ. So those are the mahram, basically the mahram. All the mahram males are allowed to see their adornment and their zina. أَوْ نِسَائِهِنَّ. Their women. Another important thing over here to note is that women are not allowed to look at the awra of women as well. She mustn't feel that, this is a female, so I'm allowed to expose my awra in front of her. No. And the same applies to men. The awra of a man is from the navel to below the knee. That even another man cannot look at. Another man also cannot look at. Sometimes we find that today the shorts are gone so short that the thighs are exposed. Or sometimes the sporting clothing of such a nature that even portion of the thigh is exposed. What is above the knee is exposed. That is awra. A man is not even allowed to look at that area of another man. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it becomes such a norm, although that is awrah. Awrah means that's your private organ. It's your private part. You're not allowed to expose it to anyone but your spouse. Not even your children, not even your parents, not even your grandparents, not even your mahrams are allowed to see that. That's awrah. As I said, there's a difference between awrah and zina. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O nisa'ihinna, they're allowed to expose their beauty and their zina to their women folk, their friends and other women. O ma malakat aymanuhunna, or those whom their right hands possess, that is the slave women in their possession. Aw ittabi'in ghayri ulil irbati min ar-rijal, or the male slaves who have no inclination towards women. The male slaves, their male slaves who have no inclination towards women, they're allowed to expose the dinah to them. Aw ittifli alladhina lam yabharu ala awratin nisa, or they are allowed to expose their beauty and their dinah and their adornment to those children who are not yet aware and who are not yet attracted towards the aura of women. So young boys, children, young boys who are not their mahram, but who are still too young to understand and to be stimulated or to be excited by the beauty of women, they are allowed to expose their beauty to them. وَلَا يَضْرِبْنَ بِأَرْجُلِهِنَّ لِيُعْلَمَ مَا يُخْفِينَ مِنْ زِينَتِهِنَّ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and they're not allowed to stamp their feet. They're not allowed to stamp their feet so that they may expose their beauty. Those days, what was very common is they would wear anklets. And those anklets would make a sound as they would walk. Or perhaps today you have certain shoes that make a sound, and the whole objective of that shoe is to make a sound so that people are attracted towards that sound. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that is not allowed. When they leave, when they go out, let them not stamp their feet in such a way that the stamping of the feet exposes the beauty that they are concealing under the garment. وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O believers, all of you, turn to Allah in repentance, make tawbah to Allah azza wa jal, so that you may be successful.